This is Severin. Today is a big day. It's the new year. I hear there's a blizzard out there in New York, and I'm on the phone with BR, who's my close neighbor and ally in the young farmer world. And BR, what's the weather? Is it snowing yet?
Not yet. They closed school early here in the town of Red Hook in New York, because it's supposed to, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be quite as bad as some people fear.
Golly, what weenies.
Yeah.
But snow removal is expensive, so maybe they're just saving everybody a lot of time and hassle.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Would you mind just giving your little intro of what you are and what you do and your farm and et cetera, just like your normal one?
Well, my farm is Hardy Roots Community Farm, and it's a vegetable CSA farm in the town of Red Hook in New York, in the Hudson River Valley, about 90 miles north of New York City. And we do CSA for around about 475 pairs a week in our community up here in the Hudson Valley and down in New York City in three neighborhoods. And I also spend a lot of time working on the National Young Farmers Coalition, trying to build a movement of young farmers around the country who are working together to make policy reform and to help each other get better connected and networked, and also to specifically, I've been working a lot on trying to figure out how we can be sharing ideas and tools and inventions and technical skills through a project called FarmHack. More about it, farmhack.net, and there's a lot of other good things.
Technical skills are awesome. Can we tell the people about Farm Show?
Yeah, Farm Show is this really great magazine that's been out for a long time, where farmers, a lot of more conventional farmers, can highlight their inventions from their farm workshops and take pictures of them, and it gets sent around, and they make books about it and things like that. A lot of those projects are a little more focused on bigger scale farms than a lot of young folks are running these days. And some of them are more kind of hobby inventions, you know, trying to weld together multiple Alice Chalmers tractor frames to make stretch tractors and things like that.
Well, and but you know what I just also is that they, you can subscribe to Farm Show, and it's a I just think we really need to make sure we keep it alive. So I want everybody to subscribe to it. It comes monthly as a little newspaper, just full of great ideas. And you can go to farmshow.com. Well, actually, I don't know the website. But if you Google Farm Show, you'll find it, and you can subscribe. But FarmHack is slightly different. Tell everybody about FarmHack, BR.
Yeah, well, FarmHack is, it's coming from the same place of farmers wanting to share their ideas and learn from other farmers. And I know that when I go and visit other people's farms, there's always some invention or idea or technique that I see there that I bring back and influences something about my farm. And so it kind of makes me wish that I could visit everyone's farm, and I can't. So we wanted to come up with ways that people could kind of get that experience of visiting farms in a little bit more of a, you know, approachable way. And so we're doing an online blog at farmhack.net for that. And I'm trying to come up with some other ways to share as well. And one of them that Severin and the Greenhorns has been working on with us a lot is a event that we're going to be hosting in Massachusetts in early March, where we're going to be going to...
Okay, so now let's talk about the Hudson Valley and what's going on near you, because you're kind of one of the old dogs in the valley now. There's like more and more people coming up here and farming. And what's changed?
We're seeing a lot of we're seeing new farms pop up here in the Hudson Valley, and you know what's changed is that there's a lot of, you know, more market for it even than when I just started about 7 years ago here in the Hudson Valley. There's a lot more CSAs sites that have popped up, a lot more farmers markets. But unfortunately, it hasn't become much easier to get a hold of land. Land prices are still really high here. And so we're seeing a lot of the young people renting land or trying to come up with other schemes to be on land but we're seeing that we haven't really figured out the best ways to get young people permanently.
So you're basically saying that the marketplace keeps expanding, more and more entrepreneurs are arriving, and yet the kind of conditions or the, let's see, what do we call it, the climate for new businesses that are land-based businesses is not changing along with the other rhythms, and there's a lagging land access issue.
Yeah, we've been doing a really good job of putting some pieces of the puzzle in place. You know, the demand for the food is there, the enthusiasm from young people who want to be farming is there, but there are these obstacles that we really have to kind of crack down and deal with, like land access, some of the, you know, technical and training issues, and if we can't put all the pieces together, then it's not going to work. So we really have to do some hard work on that stuff.
I remember when we were I took ecology classes in college, and there was all these illustrations that must have been left over from the 1940s or 50s that were talking about soil nutrients and explaining the fact that if you have nitrogen and you have phosphorus, that's all very well and good, but if you don't have potassium and all the micronutrients available, then the plants just won't grow. And obviously that's a very simplistic narrative, and a lot of plant science did get kind of simplistic, I think, during the times of chemical agriculture. But nonetheless, there is a kind of simplistic formula at the bottom of a successful agricultural operation, and it does require a certain set of ingredients. Tell us a little bit about your own personal narrative in farming and what you've succeeded at and what you're still struggling with.
Yeah, and you know, I've found a great success in running a CSA farm and getting support from my community in terms of joining as members and things like that. And I've put my full heart and soul into this project. But one thing that I've noticed is that, you know, that's not all you need. You don't just need the people who are going to buy the food, and you don't just need the farmer. You need all kinds of allies in other places. So, you know, you need the land trust to be on board with prioritizing getting farmers on land. And you need to be reaching out to different potential allies, like what we're doing with FarmHack. With this event at MIT, we're trying to connect with MIT engineering students and get them into the same room as young farmers to invent things together. So we have to be, you know, including all kinds of allies who maybe normally you wouldn't first think would be connected in with the farming movement.
So in a sense, the human capital has become almost more important than the institutional or maybe not more important, but somehow easier for us to approach with innovation and technology, but some of the kind of hardware issues are harder for us?
Yeah, you know, I think that there, in terms of the institutions that are out there, you know, the USDA programs and the Cornell University land grant, other land grant institutions, you know, they have a really big role to play, but, they've been at it for decades, and things haven't been improving as much as they need to. So we all need to be working harder with them to make this happen, because it's not just going to happen if we rely on the, you know, major institutional players, because it's not working. We're getting fewer and fewer young farmers instead of, and more and more 75-year and older farmers.
And what's your farm situation?
Well, my farm is doing great. It's a really successful business. It's profitable and healthy for the land and all that, but it doesn't have permanent farmland right now. And so in the long term, it's at risk because we don't have a permanent place. We're in a five-year lease. So that's been our biggest struggle as a farm, is how do we address that, and whether it's by coming up with some kind of really long-term lease with a willing landowner, or by purchasing land, which is only viable in this area if we get help from a land trust to help bring down.
But
the value
you do pay
of it
your employees a health benefit.
Yeah, and you know, we've been trying to be a great, you know, responsible member of the community in lots of ways, and yeah, we make sure we are offering health care to our employees, because I've been working on a farm.
Well, and you, Tom Stearns is always bragging about the fact that there's 300 sustainable agriculture jobs in the town of Hardwick. And, you know, that's a lot of jobs for a small town. And I think particularly with this mining issue coming in rural New York and Pennsylvania with the hydro fracking, you know, the kind of economic logic of the frackers is, well, you know, this land is only really valuable for real estate development and fracking, and that the older industries of farming and forestry are no longer relevant. But I would contend that that is far from the case.
Yeah, you know, on the land that we farm about 25 acres of organic vegetables, and the land that we're farming right now, where we have about, you know, 9 people employed in the summertime, before we were farming vegetables on it, it was just a hay field that was, you know, creating the equivalent of much less than one job. And so when you do a lot of this, you know, intensive farming, bringing back kind of local growing of food and fiber, you can really create a lot of economic benefits. And I think we as a young farmer movement need to do a really great job of kind of putting that vision out there and making people understand how many benefits there really are to this type of development.
So you talked about MIT. What else do we want to announce if anybody is listening who's local?
Well, yeah, so we're doing the MIT event. We don't have a definite date, but it's going to be early March, and you can check farmhack.net for more about it. And we're also, Young Farmers Coalition is co-sponsoring a gathering for young farmers in western Massachusetts in the Pioneer Valley. And that's going to be on Saturday, February 19th, I believe. And you can sign up to participate in that, which is free, at youngfarmers.org. And you should also go out to the farmhack.net website and look at those posts and figure out if you or your neighbor or someone else nearby has an interesting invention that should be profiled on there, and get in touch with us at FarmHack so that we can put that posting up. Or even if you don't have that, then comment on some of the ideas you see there and talk about how to make them better or how they might fit in your farm or a different farm. And we're still working with the Young Farmer Coalition on trying to develop good public policy assessment of the current policies that are out there for young farmers and of ideas that we have for policies that don't exist right now and that we want to see to help build the young farmer movement and make it thrive. So we're working on that.
Yeah, that reminds me of two things. Number one, Greenhorns is out, or Severin. I am Severin, and I also am representing Greenhorns out in the West Coast this right now. And we're doing a publication with Farm Credit, which is a kind of like a loaner to farms. And not necessarily because it makes sense to all beginning farmers to take out loans, but mostly to discuss and describe the various tax code advantages that come from registering as a farm. With your taxes, and many of us, because we are quite allergic to capitalism in general and, you know, bookkeeping in specific, at least at the beginning of our farm careers, we learned that we need to become proficient in the business aspects of agriculture, and some of that includes knowing when it makes sense to use credit and definitely when it makes sense to, you know, take advantage of tax holes that have been... Not tax holes, what are they called? Tax advantages that have been designed specifically to help farmers stay in business. So that's been a kind of literacy project that we're taking on. It's going to take the form of a publication. So that was one thing I remembered. The other thing I wanted to say was Ben goes as BR and as Ben. If we have people who are listening who live in New York City and who are not young farmers themselves, but they may know other people who should be at our young farmer meeting in the Pioneer Valley, what other stakeholders, aside from you know, land conservancies and land trusts and, you know, wealthy people who have land, those are good stakeholders to include, but who else should be joining the conversation with young farmers that's about to happen there in February?
Well, I think one is just students, you know, both like high school students and especially university students. for a couple of reasons. One is that they have skills that they're developing, whether it's, you know, they're studying agriculture or engineering or architecture or whatever. You know, let's take advantage of students who are doing work on thesis, you know, doing thesis research and things like that, and figure out ways to make it further, you know, our needs and goals as a young farmer movement. You know, let's do some research on the economic potential for CSA in our regions and things like that. Also, you know, students through projects like the Real Food Challenge, which is a nonprofit campaign to help universities spend more of their food budgets on local food and sustainably grown food. Those are really great ways to get involved for students, and not just students, but other professionals. You know, at the NOFA New York conference that I was at this last week, the Organic Farming Association of New York, I was sitting next to a guy who's an engineer in Ithaca, and talking to him about how he and I might collaborate on figuring out the engineering plan for a greenhouse to make sure it would be really structural, but also try and build it as cheap as possible, and then put out that plan on the FarmHack website so other farmers could follow it. So, you know, whereas it might be really hard for me to, and every other farmer, to hire a professional engineer to design each greenhouse, if a few of us can work together with someone who's an ally, who has that engineering skill, and then can kind of put that information out there in an open source kind of way, then we can have a lot of advantages throughout the whole community.
Well, this open source collaboration is totally thrilling. And I just wanted to not forget, I mean, I guess I should have him on the radio, but there's a really crazy, wonderful engineer guy that we've just been talking with. His name is Marcin. He's Polish. He's an open source DIY engineering guy. And his project has been profiled on FarmHack. It's called Open Source Farm Ecology. And he makes these like DIY tractor kits. And you can get the kit, or not the kit, but the designs on his wiki page, and basically build your own tractor for much cheaper than it would cost to buy a new one. Unfortunately, it's still cheaper and more practical to buy a tractor that is you know, old and in somebody's house or somebody's barn. But, you know, when the young farmer density reaches a certain point, there won't be quite as much junk farm equipment hanging around, and we'll have to get a little more creative. So we may as well prepare for that sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
You made your announcement.
Mm-hmm.
I made my announcements. PASA is coming up. NOFA New York just happened. We have NOFA New Jersey that Lindsay's attending next weekend. NOFA Vermont, we're doing a screening in downtown Burlington of the Greenhorns. NOFA Connecticut is coming up also. So, you know, this is the time, everybody, if you don't have a farm job yet, you better get busy. There's a lot of farm jobs advertised up on Greenhorns blog. So, yep. Anything else, PR?
Also, the Young Farmers Coalition is looking for a couple of different intern positions, and so you can look at youngfarmers.org for that. And also, Pete from Pete's Greens Farm in Vermont just had a terrible fire on their farm, and they're trying to raise money to help make up for that tragedy, so people can go to Pete's Greens website and help with that.
Yeah, Pete is an amazing farmer, and he suffered a horrible barn fire. It burned all the way to the ground. And I'm sure he needs moral support as well as financial support. So if anyone's in Vermont, you know, to send him some fan mail might be a good idea also. Sometimes that helps people when they're having a hard time, to send them a care package. Okay, well, thank you so much, BR, and I look forward to seeing you again soon, and I look forward to talking with all you Greenhorn audience people soon, and I thank you, Hearst Ranch, for your sponsorship of this radio program. Bye-bye.
No more. Yeah.